Once again, may we bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the blessings of the day. We realize that it's through Thee that we live and move and have our being in the world. We accept Thee, Lord, day by day as our Savior, our Lord, our Master. We ask that You'd bless this waiting congregation. Bless the church as such and help us to grow and help us to reach out and touch more lives. Bless our nation and our leaders and use us in Your service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you about our need of the Holy Spirit. I guess I could say our desperate need of the Holy Spirit. And for a starting point, I'd like to call to your attention an expression found in Luke 24:49, which says, "Tarry ye," this is to the church, "tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Now, there's no doubt in my mind, but what the power from on high here is a reference to the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul, writing to the Ephesian saints, said in Ephesians 5:18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." We're so dependent upon God. And we need to constantly remind ourselves of our dependence upon God. I know we're quick to admit that when it comes to salvation, we just can't do it, that God must save or else we'd be lost forever. But somehow, I don't know how we do it and read the Bible very closely, we slip into the idea that once we're saved by the grace of God, that we can sort of forge ahead in the energies of the flesh and serve God acceptably. And that's just not true. The Holy Spirit, of course, does His work in salvation. He convicts or convinces us of our sinfulness and our need of a Savior and makes Christ real to us. But that same Holy Spirit that comes into our lives continues to convict us. It continues to indwell us and convince us of things that are wrong. So we need the power of the Holy Spirit in salvation. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit in service. Only the living can give life. Now that's true, of course, with salvation, because it takes a living God to give life to a sinner that's dead in trespasses and in sin. And it takes a church that is filled with the Holy Spirit and has the mighty spiritual power that can minister to a world as that world needs to be ministered to. We can't do it on our own. I keep rebuking myself. I don't do it audibly. You'll never hear me going around, you know, talking to myself. At least not much, and I never answer myself. But I do rebuke myself for being such a poor student. Looked like I'd finally learned that in order to serve the Lord, I must allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and empower. Why are we so slow in understanding and accepting that lesson? We need the Holy Spirit to enlighten our minds. Now, our minds need to be enlightened. We need spiritual understanding. And I like the words of Colossians 1:9, which says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." We need spiritual discernment, understanding what is right and what is wrong, and being able to make decisions. 2 Timothy 2:7 says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." We need to understand the will of God. And that's a spiritual thing. The more we yield ourselves to God, the more we will understand God. I think that's true as we read the Word of God, and I know it's true experientially. As we live the kind of life we should live, we'll learn what the Lord is like in our experience. We need not only to learn the will of God, but to do the will of God. But let me tell you, my friends, understanding the will of God, having spiritual comprehension, is linked with the indwelling Holy Spirit. Then next, we need the Holy Spirit to give us the nature of children. And we don't need to ever get away from the idea that we're God's children and He's our Heavenly Father. Now, not childish, but childlike. Romans 8:15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage," again to fear, "but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The word Abba there just means Papa. So when we're born again and the Holy Spirit comes into our lives to indwell us, we are enabled through the power of the Holy Spirit to look up to our Heavenly Father and say with all sincerity, Papa, Father. And it's good to understand that we are God's children and that He is our Father and that He provides for us. There are times when we act like slaves driven to a job, wear long faces and complain, and people are not attracted to one that makes profession of faith in Jesus Christ and acts like the whole thing is a burden. You know, I was thinking today, we need to give more time to just considering our God, reflecting upon Him. I read this illustration that touched me. It said a man was on his dying bed. It was just a matter of time. And he seemed to have perfect peace. And someone said to him, "How can you in your weakness have such peace as you seem to have?" His answer was, "When I'm able to think, I think of Jesus Christ. And when I'm unable to think of Him, I know He's thinking of me." You know, that's childlike, but that's profound. As long as we have mind to think, let's think about God. But remember, when we're unable to think, He'll think about us. So, as we allow the Holy Spirit to dominate our lives, we have the nature of children. We need the Holy Spirit to give us dedication, consecration. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin, righteousness, judgment in the matter of salvation. And look, He doesn't stop convicting when we're saved. He still works in our hearts. In Philippians 2:13, it is God, that is in the person of the Holy Spirit, it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. And I was thinking to myself today how important it is that we as God's people be sensitive to the touch of the Holy Spirit, sensitive to His calls, and not grieving. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. You say, what grieves the Holy Spirit? Well, since He is the Holy Spirit, I would presume anything unholy would grieve Him. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Again, we're told to quench not the Holy Spirit. And this isn't, that word quench doesn't have in it the idea of like just putting out a fire or something like that. It has in it the idea of saying no to the Holy Spirit. And you and I can do that as children of God. We can say no to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. But when we do, we're quenching the Holy Spirit and we're grieving the Holy Spirit. And we become very unhappy and unfruitful. Then we need the Holy Spirit in our prayer life. Friends, we cannot pray acceptably except in the Spirit. Now that's true. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. What kind of weaknesses? Well, the rest of the verse tells us that it's weakness that has to do with prayer life. We're weak. Many times we don't know what to pray for. That's what the rest of the verse tells us. We don't know how to pray. And then that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself or Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be heard. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, there's much praying, effective praying, where there's not a word uttered. You know, the Holy Spirit intercedes. I've often thought of this. We have an intercessor in heaven. The Son is there at the right hand of the Father. But the Holy Spirit is inside pleading with us. God is inside. God deals with us. God in the person of the Holy Spirit dwells within us. We have the God nature within us. We have God within us. Holy Spirit's God. And then again, we need the Holy Spirit to maintain unity and fellowship in a church. A divided church is powerless. You say, well, we're not divided, so why talk about it tonight? Well, I'd rather talk about it while we're not divided than to wait until we are divided. Let's think about it. You know, a divided church becomes powerless. And you can be sure that when a church is divided, that someone's carnal. That's right. Somebody, our bodies, maybe more than one, maybe several, that are going after the flesh. They're not allowing the Holy Spirit to have His way. Let me tell you, friends, when we study the same book and yield to the same indwelling Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God has a wonderful way of unifying a church. The Holy Spirit unifies the church, and we can have the bond of peace that's talking about in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and the first 3 or 4 verses there. You know, you have to work at keeping peace in the family. You have to work at keeping peace in the church. And I'll tell you one way to do it. We just don't need to do anything that would disturb the peace of the church. And if we let the Holy Spirit control us, we'll not do that. We need the Holy Spirit to help us in our giving. Let me remind you that giving is not a matter of law, not in the New Testament. I recognize that Israel was under the law of Moses and compelled to give 10% of what they had. We're not under that setup. We're under the grace of giving. But let me say, as I've said hundreds of times, the grace of giving is better than the law of giving. And if we allow the grace of God to teach us, as we're told in the book of Titus, the grace of God will teach us to give more than the law demanded. We'll find ourselves like the Macedonian brethren, at times just overflowing in our liberality. Let me give you an example of how the Holy Spirit influences our giving. Ephesians 5:18 said, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, I'm sure you know this, that when a man gets drunk, I don't mean half drunk, I mean when he gets drunk, he gets liberal with his money, doesn't he? Fellas will get their paycheck on Friday, go to a bar and get drunk, and spend every last cent they have before they leave. You say, well, I think that's terrible. Well, I do too, and God says not that. Not that. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit takes control, every once in a while you'll give, as it were, like a drunk man. You give liberally. You'll give as the Macedonians did, even beyond your power. You'll give in such a way that you can't keep on giving like that. The Holy Spirit influences us in our giving. Let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit controls you, you'll not give pinchingly, you'll not give grudgingly, you'll give gladly, and it'll be a blessing. Then again, we need the Holy Spirit to bear fruit as we should. John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. See, not all of God's children are God's disciples. That's right. Not every child of God is a disciple. Now, if the Holy Spirit bears his fruit, what kind of fruit will it be? Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, faithfulness, meekness, temperance, self-control. Against such there is no law. I'll tell you, when a man bears the fruit of the Spirit, he's a happy, victorious child of God. Then last, we need the Holy Spirit in our witnessing. I think the Lord is telling his church, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He's simply saying you can't do the work of witnessing as it ought to be done unless you have power from heaven. Unless you have the power of the Holy Spirit. Then in Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power. And that word that's rendered power is dynamis. It's even in the Greek language, it looks enough like dynamite that you'd almost mix the two. Dynamic power. Many people do not talk to others about Jesus Christ because they're timid. They're just so timid they don't get the message across. The Holy Spirit will give you a holy boldness. Listen to this in Acts 4:31. And this is after Pentecost. This is after Pentecost. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken wherein they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, we need boldness in talking to people about the Lord. But we don't need a boldness of the flesh or a boldness that some people have by nature. That sort of boldness is brash. That kind of boldness is abrasive. That kind will drive people away in a hurry. We need to be bold, but it must be a holy boldness. There is a difference. And all of us can have the power of the Holy Spirit. All of us have the Holy Spirit. What I'm urging in closing is simply this. Please understand, I'm not pleading with us, including myself, that we try vainly to get more of God. That's not the idea. God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, dwells within. As much of the Holy Spirit as you'll ever have, you have it now. What I'm talking about is that we allow this indwelling Holy Spirit to take charge of our lives. And when we do that, God will work through us. And we'll find it so much easier to let God work through us than we will to undertake on our own strength to do God's work. You know, I look back over my life and I've tried to do God's work a lot of the time. And it leads to fatigue in a hurry. But it's wonderful when we can, in a simple, childlike way, admit what we are and let the Holy Spirit work through us 7 days a week, not just on Sunday. May God help us to be yielded, surrendered to the Lord. And that's not something you can do just one time, a once and for all thing. You surrender to the Lord today. But you'll need to do it again tomorrow. I shave, but I don't stay shaved. I have to shave again. I bathe, but I don't stay bathed. I have to bathe again. You say, well, I've committed my life into God's hands to serve Him. Well, you'll need to do that over and over again. It's just not a once and for all like the ascension of a balloon. There must be a constant yielding to the Holy Spirit. There's another nature that's tugging at you every day. Won't let you alone. That's the old Adamic nature. It's tugging at you. And you can yield to that. God forbid, let's yield to the Holy Spirit and let the Spirit work through us. Thank you for listening.